What if your company's electric fleet could travel 745 miles on a single charge? That's not a fantasy. It's the target Toyota has set for its solid-state batteries. This technology promises to solve the biggest problems in electric mobility: range, charging speed, and safety. But this week, the race to commercialize it just went into overdrive, with major moves from Beijing to Detroit. The question for Western executives is no longer if this technology will arrive, but who will control the supply chain when it does. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing on the technology that's reshaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we are laser focused on one topic: the global battle for solid-state battery supremacy. We've seen a flurry of activity in July 2026, with China enacting a national standard, the U.S. government injecting millions into domestic production, and major automakers forming critical alliances. We're going to break down what these moves mean for U.S. and European companies, from EV manufacturers to industrial drone operators. Troy, let's start with China. It feels like they just tried to corner the market before it even exists. What exactly happened?
China took a decisive step on July 1st, 2026, by implementing its first national standard for automotive solid-state batteries, designated GBT43568-266. This standard formally defines what constitutes an all-solid-state versus a semi-solid-state battery.
Why is a new definition so important? Isn't this just semantics?
It's industrial strategy disguised as semantics. By setting the standard, Beijing aims to control the narrative, prevent marketing confusion, and provide a clear development roadmap for its domestic industry. It signals a move from R&D to industrialization. Concurrently, several hundred-ton scale sulfide electrolyte production lines began operations, and we're seeing what the industry calls ton-level transactions. EV makers are buying the core material in bulk, not just lab samples.
So this is a direct threat to U.S. and European manufacturers. How should they interpret this?
For manufacturers, this means the competitive timeline has accelerated. China isn't just a research power, it's now standardizing for mass production. Companies like CATL, which has over 1,000 researchers on this, and BYD are filing patents for advanced designs like dual electrolyte cathodes. European and U.S. auto and battery makers who are targeting a 2027 or 2028 launch now face a competitor who is literally writing the rules of the game.
What about trading companies and distributors in the West?
They need to be mapping the emerging Chinese supply chain immediately. Who are these new electrolyte producers? What are their quality standards and production capacities? While you may not be sourcing from them tomorrow, understanding their cost structure and technology is critical competitive intelligence. This standard, GBT43568, will become a de facto quality benchmark you'll need to understand.
So, what's the actionable insight for a Western CEO listening right now?
You need to task your CTO and supply chain teams with two things. First, benchmark your solid-state roadmap against the new Chinese standard. Are you aligned, or are you developing a technology that will be non-compliant in a key global market? Second, re-evaluate your material sourcing strategy. The shift to ton-level production in China changes the global supply-demand forecast for key inputs like lithium sulfides.
Okay, so China's moving aggressively. How is the West responding? It sounds like we're seeing a significant push from the U.S. government.
That's right. The U.S. Department of Energy is making targeted investments to build a domestic supply chain and counter China's lead. For example, Solid Power, a U.S. developer, was selected for up to $50 million in DOE funding to scale its sulfide electrolyte production. Their goal is to go from 30 metric tons annually now to 75 metric tons by 2026 and 140 by 2028.
That's a very specific capacity target. Is it enough to compete?
It's a critical start. The DOE also awarded another $11 million to projects led by Oak Ridge and Argonne National Labs, working with companies like Ampsera to transition from batch production to continuous, roll-to-roll manufacturing. The goal there is to produce cells exceeding 350 watts per kilogram. This is about creating the industrial machinery for an American solid-state ecosystem.
So the U.S. strategy is public-private partnership to build foundational capacity. What does this mean for European manufacturers?
European manufacturers, particularly in the German auto sector, are in a similar boat. They can't rely on an Asian supply chain for this core technology.
The fundamental research is strong, with Germany's Max Planck Institute recently making a breakthrough in understanding dendrite formation, a key failure mechanism. But they must now translate that lab work into industrial scale. The U.S. funding model provides a template.
And for trading and distribution companies on both sides of the Atlantic.
Your opportunity is in the emerging domestic supply chain. These government-funded companies like Solid Power and Amcera will need partners for raw materials, specialty chemicals, and manufacturing equipment. Start building relationships now. The market for these precursor materials is about to grow exponentially, and it will be heavily weighted towards domestic suppliers for national security reasons.
The actionable insight here?
If you are an executive at a manufacturing or technology firm, actively seek out these government-funded initiatives. There are opportunities for partnership and to get your technology integrated into these new, secure supply chains. For investors, this is a clear signal of where public money is de-risking the technology, creating prime investment opportunities in materials and process technology.
Beyond government action, we're seeing the big corporate players form alliances. It looks like a high-stakes game of musical chairs to secure a battery partner.
Exactly. The capital expenditure and technical risk are too high for any single company. Toyota, which holds a massive patent portfolio, is accelerating its partnership with Japanese materials firm Idemitsu. They are targeting mass production of sulfide-based electrolytes for a 2027-2028 vehicle launch.
And we're seeing similar moves with Korean and American companies.
Correct. South Korea's SK On has just signed an MOU with U.S.-based Factorial Energy. This is a very pragmatic partnership. They are explicitly evaluating if Factorial solid-state battery, known as FEST, can be manufactured in SK On's existing lithium-ion gigafactories. This is a capital-efficient strategy to accelerate the timeline.
So they're trying to avoid building entirely new multi-billion dollar factories from scratch. Who else is Factorial working with?
Factorial has been very effective at building a coalition. They are already testing their 77 amp hour cells with Stellantis integrated into the STLA large platform for the Dodge Charger Daytona prototype. Those cells are hitting 375 watt hours per kilogram and can charge from 15% to 90% in just 18 minutes. This shows the technology is moving from the lab to real world vehicle testing.
How should US and European manufacturers view these exclusive partnerships?
If you're an automaker without a clear solid state partner, you are behind. This is a direct competitive threat. Your rivals are locking up not just the technology, but the manufacturing expertise and capacity. For Tier 1 and 2 suppliers, these alliances define your future customer base. You need to align your own R&D with the technology platforms, be it sulfide, oxide, or polymer, that your key OEM partners are adopting.
And for trading companies?
Your focus should be on the specialized equipment and materials needed for these new manufacturing lines. For instance, the SK On and Factorial partnership will create demand for equipment that can handle dry electrode processes within an existing factory footprint. This is a new high-margin market opening up.
The immediate action?
C-suite executives need to review their strategic partnerships. Do you have a secure partner for next-generation batteries? If not, the window is closing. And for those in the supply chain, you must get your technical teams embedded with these leading consortiums to ensure your products meet the specifications for 2027 production.
Troy, we've talked about the strategy, but let's get into the technology itself. We hear a lot about the benefits, but a recent study from the University of Wisconsin-Madison suggested they might not be the silver bullet for safety we all thought.
That's an important reality check. The study confirmed that while solid-state batteries are significantly safer by removing the flammable liquid electrolyte, they are not immune to fire risk in worst-case scenarios. The high energy density and presence of lithium metal still create an intrinsic hazard, so safety is improved, but not absolute.
So it reduces the risk, but doesn't eliminate it. What about niche applications? Are we seeing these batteries appear anywhere besides EVs?
Yes, and this is a key indicator of commercialization. Tatu, a brand from Greipow in China, has unveiled a semi-solid-state battery for commercial drones that hits 350 watts per kilogram. For an industrial drone, this means longer flight times and higher payload capacity, a direct operational advantage.
And we're also seeing this in a completely different sector, implantable medical devices.
That's right. The French company Iten has launched the Solamed project, backed by a European Union initiative. They are developing a tiny solid-state battery for Class 3 medical devices, like pacemakers.
they're targeting over 600 watt-hours per liter energy density and the ability to charge to 80% in 20 minutes. For this application, the intrinsic safety and reliability are non-negotiable.
How does this affect mainstream U.S. and European manufacturers?
It shows that the first commercial beachheads for solid state will likely be in high-value niche markets where the performance gains justify the initial high cost. For manufacturers, this is an opportunity. If you're in aerospace, defense, medical devices, or high-end electronics, you could be among the first to integrate this technology years before the mass market EV.
So for trading and distributors, the advice is to look beyond automotive?
Absolutely. The demand from the UAV and medical tech sectors is here now. These customers need specialized, high-reliability cells. Sourcing and qualifying these early-generation solid-state batteries for non-automotive clients is a significant near-term business opportunity.
And the actionable insight for executives?
Broaden your horizon. Don't just plan for an EV future in 2028. Analyze your current product portfolio and identify where a lighter, safer, more power-dense battery could create a market-leading product today. The drone and medical markets prove the technology is ready for prime time in certain applications.
All right, Troy, a lot of fast-moving developments this week. Let's distill this down into a strategic summary for our listeners. What are the three key takeaways?
First, China is attempting to define and dominate the solid-state market before it scales. Their new national standard, GBT43568, and their ramp-up of electrolyte production are a clear signal that they intend to set the terms of global competition. Western companies must benchmark against this. Second, the U.S. and Europe are responding with strategic public funding to build resilient domestic supply chains. The DOE's grants to companies like Solid Power are designed to onshore the production of critical materials and manufacturing know-how, creating a direct counterweight to Asian dominance.
And third, the path to mass production is through strategic alliances. Partnerships like Toyota Idemitsu, SK On Factorial, and Stellantis Factorial are de-risking development and collapsing timelines. Companies without a clear partner are at a significant disadvantage. The commercial target for EVs remains 2027 to 2029, but niche markets like drones are viable now.
So what should executives be doing a Monday morning?
Three actions. One, task your team to analyze the new Chinese standard and its impact on your product and supply chain strategy. Two, aggressively explore public-private partnership opportunities to get inside the emerging domestic supply chains being funded by the US and EU governments. Three, look beyond EVs. Identify high-margin niche applications in your own business where Solid State's advantages can give you a competitive edge today. The race is on, and the time for passive observation is over.
An intense week and a clear call to action. The transition from lab to production line is happening now. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Thank you for joining us at Troy Technical Intelligence.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss next week's analysis. For Troy Technical Intelligence, I'm Susie. Join us next week as we continue to check the technology that drives global business.